black mass, man, it's time to rock. I had to find a way, I couldn't find a job. Couldn't find a prayer, couldn't find a God. Couldn't find a prayer, couldn't find a God. Black mass, man, it's time to rock. I had to find a way, I couldn't find a job. Couldn't find a prayer, couldn't find a God. Couldn't find a prayer, couldn't find a God.
I woke up, then I logged in to that Urban X where they be flexing with that blog in. Put it down, cause my little homie called in. Had to bail him out, he in trouble with the law again. Black skin can't win in the white world. Seen a brother kill his own kid for that white girl. We ain't wanna go to school, but we had to. Every February, it was scary in them classrooms. Shimmy y'all, shimmy yay. Old dirty bastards can't own dirty slaves or they own dirty masters. Black Dot found a pot as a youngin', broke it down for a Sunday night, he serve it to the masses.
Black mass, man, it's time to rock. I had to find a way, I couldn't find a job. Couldn't find a prayer, couldn't find a God. Couldn't find a prayer, couldn't find a God. Black mass, man, it's time to rock. I had to find a way, I couldn't find a job. Couldn't find a prayer, couldn't find a God. Couldn't find a prayer, couldn't find a God.
Urban excellence, a product of my residence. From 4 score to 44, Obama was the president. I told mama I ain't tryna go to church. I'm like Adam, every Adam is a product of the dirt. And I've been reaping what he sowed, I got the product, got the dirt. And I can teach you what I know, but then you got him put in work. You in trouble if you waiting on the government. I told my bro I make it out the hood and that's a covenant.
Peace, peace. Welcome back to another episode of the Urban X Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Malcolm. This is the artist formerly known as the Black Dot. We're here with you guys in the building.
I'm What's hearing good? Some stuff I normally don't hear, so I don't know what that is. But nonetheless, okay. We are here in the building. I'm excited to be here. What's up with you, Malc?
I feel good. I'm good. Thank you guys for being here with us. Last week of October, this month, actually.
I'm hearing the
flu.
No, the
but not really.
Comments. You got the flu?
No, I said this month actually flu, but not really.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, look, we just had the members only, well, the male only, meeting on Sunday. And it seemed to come very fast. I want to shout out all the new people that came in for the Sunday morning meetup, for the women's only, the men's only. Remember the last Sunday of every month, we split the groups.
Yeah.
And I heard and saw some new people in there. So I want to shout them out.
Yes.
When you get your membership, that is available to you to come in and share great conversations with us.
Absolutely. And this week we might be doing something special for you people on the fence. So stay tuned.
Okay. Stay tuned for that. Malcolm stay is tuned. Always cooking up something.
And for the people who are in the membership right now, we have something new for you. Black Dot just dropped a new episode of Somebody's Gotta Say It. It is in there right now. You can go check it. Check it after the show. Check it after, when you get off here.
Yes, it's
not
called
now.
These Are Not My Heroes. And it's a continuation conversation that I feel we need to have. And it's going to go all the way back from the time you were birthed to now and begin to reexamine all of the people in your life and ask yourself, were they strategically placed there to monitor you, be aware of you, shut you down, steal your light, deter you, distract you, the entire 9 yards. And sometimes when you just sit back and reflect and you realize how important cartoon characters were, how important teachers were, coaches, priests, ministers, mentors, athletes, stars, it's all a part of the plan. And when you step back and realize that these are not your heroes, you really start to tap into the hero within. And so
Absolutely.
It's definitely worth checking out for the members. It's in there for you.
Oh, yesterday, guys, I experienced my first trunk or treat.
Oh, how was that?
It was actually not bad. And I decided that I could do a better job. So I'm running for PTA president next year.
I like it.
I think it's time.
I like it.
I think it's time. You know what I'm saying?
Got to get in
for black. Malcolm. You know what I'm saying? I think it's time for a black man to just come up, you know, and run things, you know, around these parts. So if I need you guys to stuff the ballots, you know, the Urban X Nation stuff the ballots to vote.
The question for Mama Dada is, what would you do different that's being done?
Whoa. See, I grew up in a middle class family, you know, and
basically,
I grew up in a middle class family, you know, and we want to support, you know, the small time teachers and tax breaks and, you know, lunches and stuff like that. So, yeah.
OK.
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
So what else is up, you guys? Thank you for joining us here. Quick roll call.
Yes.
Florida in the house. Philly in the building. Detroit, what's good? What up, though? From Detroit, 313. What up, though? Who else we got? You guys, you know, Wilmington, Delaware in the building by way of BX. Naptown in the house. Chicago, Oaktown, Illinois, Dayton, Ohio. Chicago again. Douglas, thank you guys for joining us.
Atlantis.
Thank you guys.
GA in the building. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, real quick, retraction from last episode, the private episode. We talked about the allegations against Mark Cuban. Apparently, Dirk doesn't have a younger brother for Mark Cuban to prey on. So, retraction.
So who? See,
no clue.
Listen, this is why this shit is dangerous, because I was reading the affidavit. So all of that was fake.
Looks like it.
Okay. All right. See, this we're treading in crazy, in a crazy space now.
Yeah.
You know, because you read the affidavit, you see the charges, you go, okay, everything is alleged now. Everything.
Yeah. Everything.
Dang.
So had to do it. So let's get to something. You got any announcements you want to get to? No?
We still running the sale at Shop Urban X. Buy one, get one half off, including this classic joint. You can get this classic woke joint. This is our flagship.
That's one of our best sellers.
One of our best sellers. You can get that. Of course, get that membership as these winter months come and we bog down and get to work and put some extra premium content. I just got off the phone with King Simon, who's going to do a couple of numerology classes inside for the Urban X members.
Nice.
So look for that as well. Yeah.
All right, so let's get to some stuff, man. Let's start it off. Start it off.
You are tuned into the sounds of Urban X.
So last week when we got off, like the next day, we found out that Lil Durk from OTF, you know, Chicago drill scene, he got arrested by the feds in a murder for hire plot that apparently he kind of financed and put together. And the person who got murdered was Quando Rondo's cousin, Lil Pub, I believe. And Quando Rondo's man is the one who knocked King Von off.
Yes.
Right? So apparently this was Get Back. He slid for Von. That was what everybody was saying. He slid for Von. And he got arrested. So he was actually, because the gunmen, they actually got arrested. They actually got arrested by the feds. And then when Dirk found out they got picked up, he tried to charter a private plane to Italy, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And he got caught, like they came and got him like that day or like early that day. He was supposed to go at night. They got him in the daytime. Now, real quick, side note, I believe Italy has extradition to the U.S. I don't know if that was a place he could go.
Well, he might have been going to Italy and then into somewhere else. You know, might have been a 2 or 3 part trip, you know what I mean, to try to throw people off. You know what I mean?
And he was in Florida, so you could have, I don't know, got somewhere else. He could have got to
Cuba.
I don't know. No?
Yeah, I mean, but
he got enough money to make that happen.
But look at him, Malcolm. Does he look that bright?
No, he doesn't. And the fact that he was, you know, these illegal things were happening with his credit card. He was booking flights under his name and stuff like that, paying for rental cars with his credit card. And one of the dudes that was in his team was wearing a wire for years. And it's always, that's always the case.
Yeah.
It's always a snitch. The feds don't have a case until there's a snitch.
Yeah.
There is a snitch. And that's what happened. But,
and
I was talking to wifey about this, right? And she was just like, because I said, yo, all of these rappers, scammers, drug dealers and stuff like that, they get caught the same way now. Like, they get caught thinking it can't be them. So they get caught talking in illegal stuff in Instagram DMs, thinking like the feds can't get that. Mm-hmm. They use credit cards and stuff like stuff can be tracked. They use rental cars like they can't tie that back to something, and the rental cars don't get tracked. And then she said something. It was funny, but it might be true. She said, "Yeah, I think it's because like there's no modern day drug shows or drug movies that show actually how these people get caught. There's only Scarface, which we'll talk about later. There's Paid in Full and stuff like that, which kind of glorifies like, you know, old school drug deal stuff, but like nothing up to date. Even Power now is up to date, but it's like fantasy. It's like they never get caught. Like these people, they get caught all the same way. And it's just like, how could you be stupid enough to get caught? I don't know. I might be speaking from a very privileged position because I'm just kind of watching it happen.
Yeah.
But it baffles me every time they get caught like this.
Well, I think a little bit is a little bit of both. And what I mean by that is this. I don't think these young people care. I think these young people are so fearless in their minds. I've often spoke about it. They would rather have a 7-year run that goes down in street law history than to live for 59 years going to work on some bullshit, right? So I beg to question in Urban Culture Decoded who is right and who's wrong, or there is no right, there is no wrong. It's a matter of perspective. Young lady goes to college, does the right thing, graduates from college, comes out and makes $60,000 a year. Chick on the pole, make that shit in 3 months. Stays home, sleeps all day. This is the mindset when the only thing you're after is money. So if right. the end goal is money, how I get to that money is my business. That's the mindset of this generation. So I'd rather live high on the hog for 7-8 years. The excitement, Malcolm, of knowing I could die any moment. You don't have that kind of excitement in your life. Malcolm, you're a scaredy cat. You going to school, joining the PTA meetings, trying to be the fucking president of PTA, taking your little son to school, hoping no drama break out. Ain't no excitement in that shit. Imagine being low in the whip, like it could go down every day. That's the adrenaline that's flowing through these young people. Now, imagine they were able to channel that energy into something really constructive and what we could use that energy for. You're the scaredy cat, not them. However, when they wind up in a 6x9 cell and all of life slows down to an ultimate stop. That's where Diddy's at right now. It's just a real stop abruptly, not a gradual shutdown. I did that in my younger days. I saw my kids get born. I want to change my life, and now I'm stepping down. No, it's a gradual stop. Yeah. That's when the real drama kicks in. That's when them walls around you and you start counting the bricks on the wall and you start looking at the crevices in the floor. That's when this thing gets crazy. And so with little Dirk, he don't look like the brightest tool in the shed. Right?
No, he does not.
And so therefore, the street rules say, I got to slide for my man. Right? And right. instead of understanding, because none of these people think this shit through. This is all an emotional byproduct of yeah. something that happened. Anything that you think through thoroughly, you won't come up with that conclusion, not in that capacity.
Yeah.
How the hell are you going to get 5 plane tickets, rent a car, and all of that to now place 5 individuals that are under your supervision
at
the scene of a crime?
Yeah.
Think you are going to walk with that. Now, back to the plug. This guy was his friend. Forget his name. The one who wore the wire.
OTF Jam, I think that's
OTF Jam. Now, from what I understand, when he was in jail, he was looking out for him, came home, gave him 50 grand, put him up in a little whip or something. But the whole time, he wearing the wire. I told y'all, I said, when these dudes come home, they come home on a mission. They work for the feds now. And you put them right in your mix. And come on, as dumb as fucking Lil Durk look.
Yeah, he said, tell us about all the illegal activity we are doing.
Yeah, tell us when we are going to plan the next.
I forgot the plan.
I forgot the plan. Get the fuck out of here. And if it's your man, you might get real loosey-goosey in your...
Yeah.
And it's a wrap the whole time he working. But my thing is, if you already out, unless he got out early,
If it's something,
what are you offering the feds? Like, what's your motivation?
I mean, listen, we'll put your ass right back in there.
Yeah.
Or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, we'll, like, if you don't give us something, we'll put your ass right back in there.
And your homie, son, your main homie gonna do that to you? There's no loyalty out here, bro. That's like your main man Clint wearing a wire for 10 years. You know what kind of stories he would have?
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
That'd be crazy. Like, you'd be looking at this like, what?
That'd be crazy. Yeah.
And so there is no loyalty in this game. It all goes up and then it all comes down. And then I don't want to get all metaphysical on it. A lot of these they're not human. A lot of these dudes is just empty shells with a human perception. So to be able to even discern what's really going on, they don't have.
Yeah.
Look how many young people out here just, man, these niggas will kill you in the blink of an eye and then write a song about it. Who does that? Right? So we're dealing with a different energy altogether. And Lil Durk's situation is you know, indicative of that, so to speak.
You know what this, when I found out he got arrested and for what and stuff like that, and feds got him, it feels like there is an entire, and I say this every time, like there's a war on hip hop, but they are like washing away just like an entire generation of, like a bunch of drill rappers are going to jail, right? New York, a lot of New York drill rappers got locked up. Diddy, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, he is in jail. There's a lot of stuff connected to him that's fallen. Like, there's about to be a new, like, just paradigm, and I don't know what it's going to look like.
Well, I
when it comes to entertainment, music, like, how we even consume the entertainment as well is going to change. How artists are paid is going to change. How money is made, how money is transferred. It's just a lot that's happening. And I say it all the time, like, we could look at these things as isolated individual events, but when you look back, we're going to see, like, yo, that brought about this, or this brought about that change and stuff like that. That's what I was thinking.
Well, let's ponder this, Malcolm. The man that giveth can taketh away.
Right.
Right? And so the immigrant situation or the migrant situation, they let all of these people in, right?
Right.
So that can be a part of the plan. Then when they pull the plug on these migrants with all of that support, what do you think is going to happen? Because now we don't need you. The election is over.
Mm-hmm.
as of next week, whatever the results may be. We brought all of that in to ensure voting, because that's the only reason that they're here. Let's be honest. America don't give a shit about people. Because if they did, we wouldn't be in the condition we're in. So let's stop that. They brought in for a purpose. Once that purpose is done, we have no use for you.
Yeah.
Slaves who came to America. Once the infrastructure is built, there is no use for you. So all of these rappers who were given this green light to promote an agenda. I'm not talking about the origins of hip hop when dudes was just having a good time and they didn't think it was going to be anything. Once they figured out that this was a phenomenon, it was important for them to make sure that the only people who really thrive are the ones that they approved. And they approved them with an agenda. Tell me I'm wrong. We're going to promote drugs. We're going to promote violence, misogynistic, this, alcohol, products. Now, we're coming to the end of that era. We no longer need none of you niggas. So now coming back through and cleaning all of that shit up and going to make you all look like the bad guys in the process. But when we needed you, just like when people forget Saddam Hussein, no, Bin Laden was a CIA operative.
Yeah. Yep.
Until they no longer needed him. Yep. Then he became the boogeyman.
Yeah.
This is a process, guys. They do this all the time. When
same
they
thing
need
with
you,
Saddam.
They give you a green light, sort of like having an informant. Informants get leeway to do a lot of shit. They can kill people, set people up, be involved. But when we no longer need you, Larry Davis said, nah, enough of this shit. I'm tired of this. They came to kill him.
Yeah.
How many officers who are street officers go kill them drug dealers when they get wind that them drug dealers might be talking to the feds, internal affairs, and stuff like that? It's all a system of use and abuse. You're not leaving here with that catalog, Malcolm.
Yeah.
We let you build that catalog up. You are not leaving Earth with that shit. And if you leave Earth and it's in the members of your family, we come in to get it.
Basically.
Yes.
Basically. Because it seems like it's just like what I grew up on as far as what, like I said, not just in music, entertainment in general. It's just like all being washed out over time. And then we're going to look up and see like, oh, like the new A-listers are like video game streamers. You know what I'm saying? Or like, you know what I'm saying? Like the new A-listers, this show off of YouTube, like created, you know, like this whole buzz and stuff like that. These podcasters are interviewing presidential candidates. Like that's what, like, we're just gonna wake up and it's just like, this is normal. And that wasn't the case before, you know what I mean?
Right.
Really fascinating stuff.
It's all a part of that plan and system. You watched it in a whole bunch of movies. When you know too much, we gotta come get you. Because the system is bigger than you.
Right.
And the problem is Epstein and a few others, Maxwell, Ghislaine Maxwell, a few others, Diddy, started feeling that they was actually, you know what I mean, important.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, you're important in a scheme. But when that scheme no longer has value or you start going against that, go back to watch Wag the Dog.
Yeah.
When he wanted to talk about the great movie he created. And De Niro and them was like, they're gonna drive you home.
Yeah. Like, he was just like, I gotta talk about, you know, what I created. He was just like, there's no way to convince you otherwise. He goes, I have to do this. He goes, all right, man.
All right.
Cool. They're gonna take you home.
They're gonna take you home. Okay? So it's all the same thing. Your drug dealers in your neighborhood are allowed to do that, right? Yep. It's one big system. The police help bring the money in. The drugs come through the cartels. Politicians get their piece off the top. They look the other way. We move the drugs to the hood. The drugs will shut brothers and sisters down. A few of them will get paid. That's okay. Collateral damage. It's all a big system. It's all a big system.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Yep. So,
you're listening to the sounds of Urban X.
So I've wrestled with this next topic, because every time I saw the clip floating by on a timeline, I just went by it. I couldn't bring myself to watch it. When Angel Reese on her podcast with Shaq, and he kept commenting on her shorts and what did it look like if she was dunking and her short shorts and stuff. I was just like, this is nasty, bro. Like, it's just...
That's nasty work, bro. Nasty.
Gross. And for multiple reasons, right? So when I first started seeing Shaq and Angel Reese, it seemed as a big brother, like pseudo father mentor role. He went to LSU. She went to LSU. She's like the new face, one of the new faces of the WNBA. He's kind of trying to mentor her and stuff like that. That's what it seemed like.
Yeah.
Him saying that, it made me so uncomfortable. And people are going, well, she has to expect that because look how she's dressing and stuff like that. And men and women. And listen, on a very, very basic level, okay, right? But with all of that pre-context I just gave you of him being a mentor to her, him having a daughter her age, essentially, right? Playing the same sport, essentially. It's just like, you can't control yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't even, like, I don't know. I was uncomfortable.
Malcolm,
it was
nasty, nasty.
Yeah, like, come on,
it was perverted. It was predatorial. It was all of those things. You don't say that kind of stuff. Especially you're twice her age and then some. This is a young girl who, like you said, you're supposed to be big uncle. You're supposed to be her protector.
Yeah.
In every sense of the word. You are not supposed to be commenting in that aspect. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I made a comment that I was uncomfortable with her coming out there in those shorts for that concert, because I said, I'm worried about how they are going to pull her in, and she wants attention so bad. So if he was in a big brotherly role and say, look, sis, you a businesswoman now. Dressed like a businesswoman when you out here. I know you and your friends do this and that. Right. I get it. Because sometimes the shit my own daughter wear, I'm uncomfortable. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't follow. I mute her.
Yeah, like, I would not be on some old, yo, you and your girlfriends. Yeah, your girlfriend ass is fat out of see. What kind of crazy shit is that? Right? And so he was supposed to be in a role, just my humble opinion. Come on, sis, get this shit together, because there's going to be predators when they get you in them parties, right? And they hand you them drinks, because don't think Diddy the only one doing that shit. And you got them bedroom eyes, and you want to be with these celebrities, and the women are worse than the men. I know that sounds crazy. I don't want to hear it. Them women gatekeepers? Oh, my God. Right? So they're going to get you because you are enamored by celebrity and you're the new fresh meat. You're the new it thing. They get off on the new it thing. Your light is bright. They want to dim your light. And for Shaq, who dated Hoops, Superhead, no telling who else, this is right up his damn alley. And it was predatory in mind. On national TV, you worked for fucking TNT.
Yeah, I remember this happened like a year ago, maybe.
Just me.
There was this girl who went viral from working at Home Depot, right?
Yes.
And she posted a picture and stuff like that. People loved it. And she became like, you know, when she went viral. And then Shaq like went in her DMs. And I was just like, yo. Yes. people thought it was funny. I'm just like, yo, this.
That's not funny.
Something there.
Yeah,
there's
man.
Something like.
That's not cool, man.
Yeah.
It's not cool at all, in my humble opinion. And somebody need to pull his coat and say, oh, bro, I understand you, Shaq, and we, you know, nobody believes half the shit you say anyway, but that was crossing the line, in my humble opinion. I got nieces. I got daughters. I would never even look at her friends in that way. And I'm a man. Doesn't mean you can't recognize, oh, okay, I see she's grown up. But I would never get on my fucking podcast and say anything in that capacity.
Yeah, and we gotta start holding ourselves accountable. Like
that's all.
I hate the. Well, what she expect? Like I get what you're saying. Like I get it, but then at the same time, we have to like, yo, control yourself. Like
that's the key. So yeah, she's gonna be looked at as a piece of meat to most, and you might even think it in your head. Oh, she fine. Okay, yeah, she a little bad, but you don't fawn over her in that capacity about imagine her dunking. He was literally fantasizing about her dunking in little poom poom shorts hanging from the rim. Are you kidding me?
Nah, it's gross.
Nah, that was nasty work in my humble opinion. But again, when she get into them parties, and she will, if she hasn't already, then she'll, you know, start seeing a different side of that.
All right. Let's get to some more stuff.
You are tuned into the sounds of Urban X.
Sticking with basketball, the Miami Heat unveiled Dwayne Wade's statue that they're going to have in front of the stadium. So clap it up.
Yeah.
D-Wade was probably my favorite player growing up.
Yeah.
Until like he retired and then it just got
It got a little weird, but his playing days, he played hard. He never cheated the game, in my humble opinion. He could do a little bit of everything. Yes, came from a hard upbringing, the whole nine yards. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So they unveiled the statue and people had a lot of jokes about what the statue looked like, how much it doesn't look like D-Wade, but I saw pictures of him at the early stages of them making that statue. So he had agreed to it in agreed to it.
With all the 3D technology that we have.
I understand. Right? I understand. Yeah.
With all of the technology to make things look exactly like you.
Yeah.
This is what you guys came up with. And I'm pretty sure, like you said, it had to go through a pre-approved process. The board, people looked around. All right, this is go. It looks like Morpheus.
Yeah, it does.
We're going to put a picture of Morpheus up. Yeah. The shit look like goddamn Morpheus.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
You know, when Mr. Smith was trying to get the keys to Zion. We want to get out of here, you know? Yeah, that's what shit looked like.
Yeah.
Even D-Wade said, oh, wow, like, who's that?
Yeah.
Like, at the, dude, that's you.
Yeah.
So, but congratulations,
I think it's done by hand, I think, and that's, like, why they wanted to do it that way. But as you said, with 3D printing and all of this stuff, like, you could get his goddamn face on there.
Yeah, yeah.
And make it look like him.
Yeah. Like, if you just showed me that picture without me seeing Miami number 3.
Somebody said it looked like Antoine Walker.
Yeah, it looked closer to Antoine Walker than it do him.
Yeah.
If you asked me who that was, I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. Some well-deserved, but I don't know who that is. Yeah, facts.
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 You are tuned into the sounds of Urban X.
So we got to get to this. Condolences officially to DJ Clark Kent, who made the transition over the weekend. Remember, like, I think last week, early last week, there was reports that he had passed, but he didn't. and it is official. He actually did pass. So it's first of condolences, but it's also crazy how fast people try to get in front of a story to try to be the first one.
We in that era now where people just want to be the first to release something, and it might have came from inside of the inner circle, you know, where we know that this is imminent, you know what I mean, because of his condition, and they want to be the first to report it, and people want to be, like you said, out and running with the story. And so we had to retract the story, but I knew that the time was coming. So condolences to him and his family. They just may want to get him home where he can, you know, pass or transition in peace and give the family some grace so they can go through, you know, what it is they have to go through. His contributions for the culture are tremendous. Sneakerhead, producer, DJ, responsible for Jay-Z, Biggie, connecting them to very well entrenched into the culture itself in so many ways. And so salute to him. And, you know, with him, Fat Man Scoop,
Mr. C,
there's a lot of them just transitioning out at this time, because hip hop has, after when you reach 50 years of any culture or movement, if you were at the beginning of those, you've put your time in and life don't stop. You know what I mean? And so now we'll start seeing our heroes of the culture begin to transition. So kudos to him. His body of work stands on its own, and salute to DJ Clark Kent.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Let's get to some more stuff. To the sounds of Urban X. So over the weekend, we talked about that Trump was going to be on Rogan. Kamala was going to be on Club Shay Shay. So Trump went on Rogan. That episode dropped in the middle of the night the other day, 2 days ago. I think it was Friday, like into Saturday and Sunday. Yeah. Right now, that stands at 35 million views since I last checked. Kamala's interview on Shannon debuted today at 12 Eastern. That's about at 400, almost 500,000 views. Now, do the view counts mean anything? I don't know. However,
I think it does.
If you look at, if you go to the comments, you don't even have to watch either one, right? If you go to the comments on Joe Rogan's and Trump's interview, it is like overwhelmingly positive about Trump and Rogan, and even like just overwhelmingly positive. If you go to the comment section to Club Shay Shay, it is like 98% negative. And I was like legit in shock, right? Because this is what I said. I believe I said this in the private show. I said, I don't know if this might backfire on Shannon, because at the beginning of the year, he brought in the interview with Cat Williams. And that was supposed to be like, you know, the bringing of truth. And look at what kind of year followed since that interview, and all the truth is going to be revealed, all this stuff. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then for him to kind of end the year basically with a interview with Kamala Harris, who people feel, I'm not going to say nothing because, you know, people getting on me, who people feel is disingenuous, is a little ironic. It just is. And if you look at the comments, if you look at when he posted about it on Twitter, you can look at all the replies, overwhelmingly negative. Like legit over, like you can go check, you don't have to take my word for it. When he announced the interview on YouTube, you can go under the post, not the video, under the post, again, overwhelmingly negative. And then the interview itself, overwhelmingly negative. So I don't know what this did for her, but I think it definitely shows how people actually feel about her.
Yes and no. I got to be very careful here, right? So I don't know what to believe now, Malcolm.
I understand.
I got to be very clear. I don't know what or who to believe, because 35 million, that should sound astronomical, right? But on the other end, are those real views? Are they real? You know what I mean? Same thing on the other end. What political party is winning the propaganda is the real true question here. Now, in a vacuum, which I always try to see, because my daughter said, if I get up here and I start capping for Trump, she's gonna unfollow me.
I just want to talk. I have to, like, my last message to anybody, my last message to everybody who is listening about this election, because I want this to be done. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, I'm tired.
I want it over so bad.
I want it to be done. But because I have really close friends who when we have political discussions, I try to just present both things. Here, this is what's happening. This is what's happening. This, like, and I'm just starting to see that, like, they are just very pro Kamala, anti Trump, and I get it. I'm like, and I don't love them no less, right? What I just try to convey is that neither one of these people care about you. That is it. That is, if I could just boil my political stance down to anything, it is neither one of these people care about you, and neither one of these people actually truly deserve your vote. So when we have these discussions, right, and people, and the reason why I would say, like, it seems like we're kind of harsher on Kamala is because that's who I feel is being pushed in my face. It is not cool for a black man to obviously say that he's, you know, for Trump. It looks clickbaity. It looks like you are engagement farming, like you're just trying to get people to watch your stuff. But the attack or the full-blown blitz of you need to be voting for Kamala when legitimately 4 years ago she tried to run and she couldn't even get past the first primaries. And then there were Democrats who were for Joe Biden who were absolutely against her. And I'm like, if you sit back and just watch everything that just happened and watch what each side has said about each other, said about themselves and stuff like that, and then somebody with a straight face to tell you you need to vote for her, I just think it's really, really wild. So another one of my boys was like, yeah, I need to get more into politics. I said, no, you don't. Like, it'll stress you out.
No, you don't.
Like, it'll stress you out beyond belief, because the more you learn, the more you see, legit, again, like I said, these people don't care about you. And every 3 or 4 years, the politics on each side changes anyway. So the more, like, say, if you identify with a Democrat, back then, like, growing up, Democrats were the party for the people, anti-war, anti-elite, things like that. Now it's literally pro-war. We're funding, we're taking money from people to spend on war. Mm-hmm. There are, like, legit bourgeoisie, like bourgeois black people now who are elite, who got these statuses for running and campaigning for the Democratic Party. And that's what we're seeing now. And then the Republicans are now, like, growing up, they were, for wealthy people. They were not for the everyman. And now it seems like they are. And it's legit. They change every few years. So if you identify when you're going to end up looking stupid if you just kind of hang your hat on either side or the other. If you're going to vote, if you feel like you need to vote, vote your interests, vote what you truly believe in, but don't listen to, don't follow what you think you should be doing, right? Because it's cool now, because if you look at the, like I said, the comments were overwhelmingly negative when it came to Kamala Harris on Shannon Sharpe's thing. So it's kind of cool now to be against that. And if you really feel like you are, like, you really don't identify with anything she's talking about, you don't believe her, fine. But just do you. Like, really just try to step back. That's why I say when you're not voting for anybody and you just kind of sit back, watch the show, it is very entertaining, but it's very telling to see just kind of where we are. And I'm nervous for next week, because I'm just ready for this thing to be over. I went on a long, real rant there. I'm sorry.
That was a roasted rant. That was one of Malcolm's roasted rants. But here's the thing, Malcolm. Everything you said can be nullified with two words: cognitive dissonance.
Yeah.
I don't think we truly understand the magnitude of cognitive dissonance, right? So it don't matter what the other party is saying, I'm for this. We're not living in a world where things are justly balanced and we're here just looking at the information unbiasedly. That's not how cognitive dissonance work. Everything that can be shown and proved about either one of these candidates is dismissed because my mind is already made up on where I'm sending my vote. Because if we, listen, how many times have we revealed Kamala's record? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Biden's true beliefs on what he felt about Black people, Trump's racist rants that he's gone on through the world, what the Bushes, none of that stuff matters when I need to get my candidate in for the sake of being on the right side or wrong side of history. Most of these people are just trying to be correct or, you know, on the right side of what they feel is the right side of this. Yeah. But when you try to sit down with people and say, well, show me how this one is a better candidate than that one or this and that, they don't want to have that conversation. Yeah. They want to have a black-white conversation. This is a black woman conversation. They want to reduce this to a level of pure emotion. Yes. And when we understand, when you're dealing with emotion coupled with cognitive dissonance, it's no reason for me to even be talking to you.
Because I try to explain to my friends all the time, right? When they talk about like, yo, it's like, how could somebody be for Trump? And I try to explain what the political elite, Republicans and Democrats, did for people to feel like they need to go with an quote unquote outsider. Like,
right.
He didn't just pop up and people just said, oh, because if you guys remember what 2016 was like, we were in the middle of cancel culture. We were in the middle of political correctness. We were in the middle of that. And people were tired. People were kind of getting bottled up. Then he just said, yo, Mexicans ruined the country. And then it was people going, yo, I've been thinking that for years. What? And he just said it?
Yes.
Yo, that's crazy. And then another thing, it's the media's fault as well, because the more they attacked him, the more people gravitate. That's like when you are a teen growing up and your parents say, don't go over there. You're going, I kind of want to go over there.
Yes.
I kind of want to see what that's like. Don't date that girl. And you know, I got to see what that's like. Don't date that guy. And ladies, you probably know, you probably had a bad boy in your life that your parents told you, do not go with him.
Right.
And what did you do? You went with him anyway, because everybody's telling you don't do something.
Right.
So for years, decades long of politicians lying, politicians, double talk, politicians doing this thing. And then the media also double and tripling down on why this is the bad guy. Trump is a product of their creation, whether they want to admit it or not, whether you want to admit it or not. Your hate, if you hate him, you created and you fed that flame.
Now, I want to add to that, and then, you know, we can just kind of move on from that. This whole thing is being generated, operated, and manipulated for the very reason that we're talking about. You understand my point? This whole situation, I am a practicalist. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the condition of my people for 56 years that I've been here, and it has not changed based on any individual that was in office. Show me where, how. And don't tell me I don't want to vote. Man, I didn't vote for Obama, but I cried because there was an emotional piece of me that saw something I didn't see. But 8 years in office, I had to examine this nigga's track record. Nothing happened for my people. When you want to know about the unknown, you study what you know. So you look crazy by not voting, Malcolm, in a world of it's this or that. What do you mean you not voting? You have to vote. That's how programmed our people are. They don't want to hear it. But a new thing is happening. For instance, the effect of Beyonce coming out to the Kamala rally did not have the effect that it would have had 10 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Because you can't hot sauce and collard greens and give us a party no more. Even regular Democrats are going, I need more than that.
Yeah.
Trump bringing out a fucking comedian, right? That was a strike against him. I don't give a shit what nobody say. We are ready for real conversations.
Yeah.
I don't need a comedian coming out to loosen up the crowd and say all of that weird shit he said, which offended a lot of people. But again, that's
Tony Hinchcliffe
where we
is trash,
are, but
by the way.
Say it again.
I said Tony Hinchcliffe, that comedian, he's garbage, by the way.
Yeah, he's garbage, right?
Yeah.
And so I think on both sides, people are going, all right, let's get to some real policy. Let's get to some real things that we can change this country. All I'm asking you, look at your life. Look at your life and decide how is it better or not better. I can't wait for this shit to be over so I can just move on with my life.
Seriously.
Not
like, I'm getting...
I think, oh man, I'm really going to come up. Like, where you been? Where you been all your life?
Yeah.
I expect that from 20-year-olds who are just naive and wet behind the ear. For those who have been on the planet for a while, you get me sick. Show me where your life has changed based on any president.
Real quick, before we go to commercial, we got to talk about Beyonce too, man. Because she was nowhere to be found during 2020, during the vid. Nowhere to be found during that last election cycle. Nowhere to be found during the mandates. Nowhere to be found when, you know, people were really, really going through it.
Yeah.
But she had an album. She had a tour.
Yeah.
But now, all of a sudden, she's actually endorsing somebody. That's odd. And I keep joking my lady about like why celebrities are coming out now to I'm like, oh, they on them tapes. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it's funny because like it'd be people who stay radio silent majority of the time and all of a sudden that's happening. Now this is happening. You can't really make the connection one to one, but it's a lot. It's closer than you might want to admit.
Yes. And it speaks volumes when you could tell that this is just a pawn that we're putting in front of you. This person, first of all, Beyonce's tax bracket is above any president, Democrat or Republican. So she's not worrying about who running the country. Let's keep that clear. And then they always want to harp on the emotion, women's rights. We women got to stick. It's all fucking bullshit talking points is what it is.
Yeah.
What was the deal with Kelly Rowland?
The suit?
What the fuck was that about?
I don't know.
Oversized male suit.
I don't know.
That was interesting.
It was.
What are they trying to say? Is that the new man? What are they trying to say? That shit was just weird to me. Especially somebody of her stature who understands fashion, who understands the world is watching. You come out in a zoot suit, a fucking pinstripe zoot suit, oversized. Nah, man.
Yeah.
See, they talking to each other and they conveying messages because that had something totally to do with something else, just in my humble opinion.
And I like to double down on what I said a few shows ago. She's going to win.
Yeah.
It feels psyop-y at this point, how lopsided it looks.
It feels so psyop-y, and that's why it's 34 million views. You start thinking this is... Mm.
I want to read this to you guys real quick. I'm going to read this to you guys. So Patrick Bet-David, he is, you know, podcaster, and this is what he tweeted. Hold on. He goes, okay, He said 15 signs Trump is going to win barring a black swan event. LA Times refused to endorse a candidate for the first time in 20 years. The Washington Post under Jeff Bezos refused to endorse Kamala, and Bezos wants more conservative writers at that newspaper. Celebrity endorsements are backfiring instead of working like they once did. We just spoke about that. Mm-hmm. Trump's one interview with Rogan got more views than all of Kamala's interviews combined.
Mm-hmm.
Mainstream media stopped talking policies, instead using fear to win. They keep calling Trump a Nazi and stuff like that.
We'll talk about that. Yep.
Republicans are leading in early voting, which rarely happens. Tech CEOs are calling Trump, not Harris. This is Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple. European stocks dropped 7% since late September due to fear of Trump's tariffs. Democrats are losing both Jewish and the Muslim vote. Mm-hmm. Trump's rallies in blue states are bringing in record-breaking attendance at Coachella in California and Madison Square Garden. He said Kamala lost the black vote. She's doing worse than Clinton, Obama, Hillary, or Biden. AOC, this is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Tim Walz. Mm-hmm. They were playing Madden on a stream, and the final score ended 0-0. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
They were playing Madden to kind of connect to young boys.
Oh, boy.
From April to September, Trump-branded merch sold on Amazon $140 million versus $26 million of Kamala Harris. Steelworkers Union of Pennsylvania endorsed Trump. Border Control endorses Trump as well. And Putin endorsed Kamala. But I say all of that to say we're about to see a Black Swan event.
I'm more in line with that, son. I'm more in line with that Black Swan event, because if you're just looking at it, you don't even have to be politically inclined. You're just looking at like two boxes. You can't tell me he ain't mopping the floor with this lady. You can't tell me that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, the fear-mongering with the whole Nazi connection thing and, all of that kind of stuff. He's having an event at Madison Square Garden, the way the Nazis, first of all, Hitler allegedly killed 6 million Jews. To associate anybody with that who hasn't killed anybody shows what level of propaganda we're talking about. But
I'm seeing black people say that was a Nazi rally. I'm like, you wouldn't call that a Klan rally, because we understand what the Klan has actually done to black people, right? You would just, and I'm being very transparent, like there's probably Klan members at the rally, but there was black people at the rallies too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You wouldn't call that a Klan rally, would you? You wouldn't. So to call that, it's just, again, being disingenuous. Like you are falling in line with the propaganda yourself, in my opinion.
And the comedian, okay, we know he was out of pocket and all of that, but you know what he was demonstrating? His First Amendment right. Think about it.
Okay.
First of all, comedians always say shit you don't like. You know what I mean? I just didn't like where he was doing it at, because I'm just tired of, let's get to while we're here.
Yeah.
But he was exercising a First Amendment right. Real comedians say shit to piss you off. If I start going down the line of some shit Dave Chappelle said that was way out of pocket, we'd be here all day. But the painting of fear, right? And to Kamala's point, I don't think she's that slow. I don't think she's just articulating. Right. And so we're using that, the fact that she is not as articulate or well-versed, because he's a businessman. He's been doing this shit for 50 years. He know how to go in front of boardrooms and do this shit. She don't. But how does that play into your presidency from a global perspective? This is what we're talking about. Not if she could talk. I'm talking about from a global perspective. Who is going to respect this black woman? And don't get in the comments and tell me she ain't black. If you are not white in white people's eyes, you are black. You are black. Okay? How is Poland, Ireland, Italy, how are they going to view a black woman? Dangerous times we live in, Malcolm. Really, really dangerous times.
Definitely. So we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we shall be right back.
And we shall be right back.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
To our podcast listeners, please rate and review this podcast for us because it helps our podcast grow and we need all the support we can get. We thank you for your continued support. Now back to the number one Father and Son podcast.
And we are back. Thank you guys for joining us here tonight. We got a good one right now. We're cooking. We appreciate everybody for being here. Thank you for the super chats. We didn't get to them because, as I said, we were cooking. Shouts out to the people who are listening right now as well. We appreciate you.
Shout out my sister Wanda, who actually voted for me at the polls.
Nice.
Yeah. She voted for Black Guy. I love it.
Nice.
I love it. I get some traction out here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah.
Yeah. So let's get to some more stuff.
Yeah, let's do that.
You're listening to the sounds of Urban X.
Side note, Malcolm. The Yankees are taking a beating.
Man, lights is too big, man. Lights is too bright for judging them, man.
Yeah.
Damn it, man. Damn it.
Down 3-0. It's early. Bases. They got bases loaded right now. Not looking good, man. They're about to blow this shit off the hinges.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the way it goes.
All right. So, speaking of sports, sticking with sports, did you see the Washington Chicago game yesterday?
I did.
That was exciting.
And embarrassing.
And embarrassing, yes.
For the cornerback or the dude who was back there fronting on the crowd. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? The play is going on, and he got his back to the crowd, turning, gets involved, and he the one who tips the ball back for home to catch the touchdown. God, jeez. When he got into the locker room, I'm pretty sure everything was like, yo, bro. Bro, are you serious?
Yeah, wait till we get to film day. See, oh, my
Belichick
God.
Would cut him.
Yeah, for real.
Belichick would, because lack of focus, Belichick would cut him.
Yeah. Yeah. Yo, we got to talk about Caleb Williams. He always looks incredibly detached from his team.
He does. He does.
Like, he looks like he is, like, above his team. Like,
and
even
that's the
like
way
when
he
something's
himself.
Yeah, when he, like, when something's happening, he's looking like, you idiots. Like, I could do that if I wanted. And he's doing this. With his neck and hand, because his just nails like, is painted.
That ain't had nothing to do with me. I made my plays. Yeah, he kind of got that vibe.
Yeah, he's real sassy. But hey, listen. We got to talk college football. Shouts out to Coach Prime of Colorado. Now, I'll admit, I am a Coach Prime hater since he got to Colorado. I didn't like the way he left Jackson State. But
it wasn't because, go ahead, continue.
It wasn't because of anything. It was really just how he left. I didn't like that. Okay.
It wasn't his ability to coach. That was never in question. It was about principalities and integrity of things he spoke of. And then as soon as the opportunity to level up financially came, he took it. That was my only issue. Not
and then
his ability to coach.
And then use black people's plight to kind of.
Yeah, it was a little crazy.
Jedi mind trick. Like, y'all just don't want a black man. No. That's not what I was mad at. Mm-hmm. But I say I like to say shouts out to them. They are ranked number 23 in the country. They are bowl eligible for the first time in a while.
That's great.
So shouts out to them. Shador is playing lights out. Travis Hunter is playing lights out. Shiloh is still, you know, a little sus.
Yep.
But shouts out to them.
Yes.
I just wanted to put that out.
And reiterate it again. I have all of my issues with the way he left. What's that school?
Jackson State.
Jackson State. And yes. His words incorporating God and all of this. I'm on a mission sent from God. And then the minute $40 million on the table, you clearly see this was never about God. And I just pointed it out. That was it. We know who Prime is. And I don't like all them people on the sideline. I still got issues with that. I think they toned it down a little bit. It's like a concert and shit. Play football. But their record is 6-2. They win in ball games. And now these are his people he brought in. Looks good.
So,
Will he stay there?
Huh? No.
When his son graduates, will he stay?
No, I give it a year.
Okay.
But shouts out to the U, Miami 8-0. Shouts out to the U.
Nice.
All right. And Lord knows what's up. Absolutely. He knows what's up.
Yeah.
Somebody say you owe Prime an apology. Get the fuck with me. Shut up.
No, I don't owe him no apology because I wasn't on his case about his coaching. I just said that. I wasn't on his case. I was on his case about his integrity.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. I'm leaving them kids high and dry. How about that? That's what I was on this case about.
Yeah. And as long as leveling up is the approval of white people, because he went to a white institution, right? Yep. As long as we see that as leveling up, then it is what it is. We're still looking for white folks to validate what a level up is for us, right?
Yeah.
That's what it boils down to. All that God shit you talking, helping inner city kids, I got 40 million. Well.
Somebody said last year he won four games. Like, Bobby Jones, you're trolling now.
Yeah, he won four games last year. Stop it.
Yeah, he won four. Bobby Jones. Let's get some stuff. All right, Funk Flex versus Shine. Have you guys heard this?
Yes.
So Shine is coming out with a Hulu documentary called The Honorable Shine. It's coming out on Hulu. And I think couple weeks and
Honorable Shine is what it's called.
The Honorable Shine, yeah, the Honorable Shine. So he in the doc, he kind of like it goes over like him being signed and then the shooting in at the club that involved Diddy, J-Lo and stuff like that. The one he ended up doing 10 years over and getting deported over. And Funk Flex was on the radio show saying, you a liar. The reason why, you got beat up because you were supposed to sign with somebody, you were supposed to sign with these dudes, you owed them money, and I don't know. Flex, he's an interesting character to me because it's always, like, these odd fights he picks.
Right, like every 3 months.
What Sean do, you know?
Well,
but I'm not privy
Sean
to all the details.
Is in his eyes, in this documentary, going to paint Diddy in a bad light, right?
Okay.
And he's saying, don't be a hypocrite, Shine. When Diddy got the key to the city, you was in his trailer.
He was.
Right? And he's saying that thing in the club was deeper from what I'm getting.
Okay.
Than just, you know, the dudes who was beefing with Diddy, from what I understand, may have been the dudes Shine was supposed to sign to.
Okay.
So you were the cause of this melee.
Okay.
This is what Flex is saying. And so you're a liar. Don't come out. But I would say, Flex, wait until you see the full documentary.
Yeah. Because I thought it was out the way he was talking. I'm like, oh, did I miss that? Like, I got to go watch that to see what's up. I thought it was out.
Well, maybe he saw a sneak preview of it. I don't know, being in the industry, you know. But there are going to be some damning facts in there about what happened. And J-Lo needs to be nervous. And Diddy is already nervous. You know. So, interesting stuff.
He said Sean was whack. I like Sean's first album. I thought it was pretty solid. I
thought it was dope, but he did sound like Biggie.
Yes. Yes.
They said D-Rock and them ran down on him.
For sounding like Biggie.
And had he signed to Def Jam like he was originally going to do, because it was a bidding war for him.
Okay.
That they were really going to duff him out. You know, energy is important. Did he understand energy? He knew this kid sounded like Biggie, right?
Yeah.
And putting him on Def Jam, he was tapping back into that energy. That's what his fascination with Rick Ross was.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Sort of look like Biggie.
The Teflon Don.
Yeah, Teflon Don. And so it was the fascination to keep that energy within the bad boy gumbo.
Got it.
And so it's ritualistic at the same time.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. So keep an eye out for that.
And where did Sean get that accent from? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it got
goes. It's a release. They set me up. I didn't shoot anyone. J-Lo had a different lawyer. That shit. You know.
All right. So let's keep it going.
Yeah.
Back to sports real quick.
You are tuned into the sounds of Urban X.
Back to sports. So yesterday, the 49ers, they won. I think they played the Cowboys. Am I right?
Yeah.
So the 49ers won. After the game, they were interviewing Brock Purdy, the quarterback, George Kittle, and Nick Bosa, the defensive tackle, defensive end. He came with a white MAGA hat, pointed at his hat, and got off camera, right? And people are going off because 49ers team Colin Kaepernick played for. He took a knee. He got a bunch of scrutiny. Nick Bosa is wearing the MAGA hat. He's not going to get any scrutiny from the league.
And it's not the same thing.
I'm just telling you what the streets is mad about. That's
black folk, again, in their damn feelings about stupid shit. That's some stupid shit.
Yeah.
Your man Tom Brady had the hat in his locker.
It's true.
Right?
Yeah.
So you wear a hat. It is not against the law to show your political views. Now, if before every game and they singing a national anthem, he take his helmet off and he put the hat on and he's standing there, now we got a problem. Right? Now we got a problem because this is not for that. But during an interview, you see people wear all kind of T-shirts. And that hat, again, is a symbol of something else. Because red hat, when you juxtapose the letters, say hatred. That's all. So when you see people with that red hat, now you angry over a hat. A fucking hat. Yeah. So again, all of this shit are trigger points to get you to, see, Kaepernick was taking a knee for black people. Which is the most funniest shit I think I've ever heard in my life. But you know what I mean. He was doing this for black people.
One day I want to do an exclusive with you, and I want to go over because our culture. We have this thing where we pick an anointed one like every 6 months.
Yes.
And I just want to go back into each one and talk about them. If we was right or if we was off.
I think that'd be dope.
I think that'd be a good one.
Yep.
Because it's always an anointed, like,
and it's always
person.
Our view to go, wait a minute, we ain't trying to hate, but fall back on that. Right? And people attack us because we're not in the moment and shedding emotions. It's not what we do here, bro.
Yeah.
It's not what we do.
Yeah.
Not what we do. We're here to just give you some information, bro. Take it or leave it.
Dr. Sinner said Bosa's always been mad. Yo,
issues with him anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, like it's always funny because like he's had like statements out loud. He just like, I don't know if it was a Freudian slip, but he's actually always said something and they're just like, whoa, that was racist. Whoa. You know what I'm saying? So I wasn't surprised.
But is it racist, Malcolm?
As far as
see,
what?
See, this is what I mean. When we are by ourselves, if they could put a mini microphone in on black folks, the shit we say about white folks, the shit we say about Jews, the shit we say, right, is the most embarrassing shit ever.
Yeah.
But we don't say it. But when they say it, who? You said nigger. Nigger. Oh my God. Look at these racists. We have selective racism. Because we all say, we all feel the same way about each other. We do. We do. It's just that some people say it out loud and some people don't. Just keep it a bean. Back in my, black people are the least racist and bigotest people on the planet, and we're just going around, and everywhere we go, people are attacking us. No, Malcolm, no. Stop the bullshit. Let's just stop the bullshit, you know? That's all. Yeah.
All right. Interesting story. Interesting story.
Now, hold on. I don't mean... We could never be racist. I understand.
I understand the systematic. We get it. We know.
People, they will run with that. We can't be racist. I get it. We don't have the economic means, but we can be prejudiced. We can be biased, right? We can be all of that shit. We can say crazy shit about people. And we do say crazy shit about people. That's all. Yeah.
Yeah, because we'll... Forgot we gotta like run everything through three and four different. Yeah, you gotta walk these statements
back a few times. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Tory Lanez, have you guys heard about this?
Yeah.
So apparently he is suing, or he is like, I don't know if he's, is he suing? Is that the correct term?
No, I think he, something with the appellate court, like he issued something or submitted something to the appellate court to get a new to appeal this process, and they're looking into it.
Because apparently he's saying that he's alleging that his lawyer basically sabotaged his case because she is affiliated with Roc Nation. And remember, his dad was like, Roc Nation.
His dad was Roc Nation.
You're the worst,
Roc Jay-Z. You are an abomination. He was going off.
So apparently he was saying that it was being discovered that the gun, the fragments, the fingerprints, and the shells from the gun were not available to retest for Tory to prove his innocence, which is a violation of his constitutional rights. Mm-hmm. But does he have constitutional rights because he's from Canada? Like, I don't know how that works.
Well, he's in a Cali prison. Well, shit. You know, if I could be in a prison and not be sent back to my country, at least let the Constitution apply to me, you know, give me a fair shot for my trial. And there were a lot of things in that situation that we all know just did not make sense. And so in this appellate process, we're going to see. We're going to see.
The entire Tory Lanez case thing was crazy because the way everybody was reporting it and the way everybody was reporting the story, the evidence, the story and stuff like that, and what he actually got found guilty for were two different things. So it was like the media was trying to keep everybody off of it as well. It was weird.
Right.
Like he got put in jail for having an unregistered gun, in California, essentially. Not for shooting her, right? So it was weird. Like, we still talking about the story and what she said and what the friend said, and the friend got off and stuff like that. And then they got him guilty for something totally different. I always thought that was odd.
Yep.
So
odd. To me, it was like he had to go down.
Yeah.
So, and we do know he cracked the code on that Bitcoin shit right before he went in jail, was selling them albums for a dollar.
What?
And sold 10 million
copies. That's right.
And he was super excited. The industry can't have... See, a lot of times we don't want to connect dots that need to be connected. The industry stood to lose lots of money if this was to fall through, right? Yeah. Michael Jackson had to go. He's got the Beatles catalog. There's certain disconnections that have nothing to do with the individual per se, but maybe what the individual represents or have in their possession that could shift things from a music standpoint. Because the music industry, as we know it, is completely going through a rebirth.
Yeah, yeah.
Of great proportions now, where independent artists can no longer have you pre-order their albums on iTunes. There's a lot of weird stuff going on because now they gave you all that. We just talked about it earlier. They let all of you artists live. Now we're not making no money. We got to bring this shit back in and double down on ways to make this more profitable for us again, even if that means stepping on these independents' shoes now. Like, yo, we bumping you out of the way. Rock Nation has a whole new thing now with independent artists helping you. This everybody's looking at the landscape and saying, oh, we're going to have to do something different. So the industry as we know it is changing.
And then, again, if you pay attention to what they're doing with Instagram and Universal and Instagram, like the deal they're making, and that's why. So, I hate going back here, but the Kendrick Drake stuff. Remember, and I kept saying like they both signed to Universal,
right?
So they're beefing, but Universal is the one that's making money. Universal just signed a deal with Meta, Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp. So now they're going to be able to both put out, like, artists are going to be able to put out music directly on the platforms.
Yes.
And the last couple songs that they both put out were directly on Instagram. You can't even find them on DSPs. So they are beefing. They're calling each other vile, horrible names, but they're clearly going from the same playbook that their higher ups are giving them.
Yeah.
And that is a metaphor for a bunch of stuff that is happening right now. I just
absolutely
sprinkle that.
What's going to come out of this? A new paradigm. And while we were focused on the war, which was a classic, right? What comes out of that that changes music forever? Them releasing songs directly to YouTube. That was a slight. That was very subtle, but very powerful.
Yeah.
Right? You don't have to go through iTunes and DSP and wait for them to schedule it. No, straight to the streets now, or the digital streets as we see it.
Mm-hmm.
And them labels is going, wait a minute. Drake dropped that. Kendrick dropped that. That's the model. Let's run with that. But before we run with that, let's make sure we tie up all of our loose ends to make sure we down with all of these Instagram, this, that, so we get a piece of the pie.
Yep.
And the artist gets nothing.
Yeah.
That's where it goes. Yep.
And then remember, we've been talking about this. We can give ourselves a pat on the back. We've been talking about this for years. The beef between Facebook and Apple.
Yes.
Right. So now if Apple Music is not like, you know, the sole, you know, playing the game anymore, I could just bypass you and go to Facebook or Instagram. That's so that it's always a larger war at play, and everybody else on the bottom gets affected by it. And we just kind of going like, what the hell's happening? And it's two companies, $2 trillion companies, damn near going at it and at your expense.
Right. But you don't see that in the moment because we get short-sighted on an event that was manufactured and allowed to spread. And while they're doing this, and new infrastructure being put in place, Bitcoin being put in place, Apple is in their boardrooms going crazy right now. Spotify, like, God damn.
Yep.
What does this mean? Jay-Z sells Tidal. That shit out of here. That shit ain't making me no money. And it's so much scrambling because the industry is shifting. And then when they pull all of them receipts back in from all of them gangster rappers, drill rappers, this and that, because that shit ain't no longer selling, now what?
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Interesting stuff.
And we throw in artists selling their catalogs. Like, that makes more sense than that, doesn't it?
Yes.
That makes does. That makes a lot more sense now, doesn't it? So, all right. Do we go to commercial break right now? I feel like we've been on for a while.
Let's keep going. And then we're going to get out of here. We're going to do another commercial break in a minute.
All right, let's keep going. Did you guys hear about the absentee ballots that have been placed on fire? People are bombing like little absentee ballot things.
Really?
And yeah.
Oh boy. Please stop. Did you hear about the interagency situation that's going on at the Brooklyn Detention Center where Diddy is being held? The FBI, NSA, and some other people converged on the Brooklyn Detention Center today.
To do what? Like, for what?
They said, again, there's always a cover story. I can only give you the cover story. That they are concerned about the well-being of the people who work there as well as the inmates. That is the only thing they said. But you saw them outside in heavy military gear at the Brooklyn Detention Center today. Interesting,
It is interesting.
And the cover story was, I'm just telling you, that, you know, we are concerned for the inmates and the workers. I don't know what that means.
Are they trying to get him out or get him?
I don't know. Malcolm, I don't know what that means.
Oh, my gosh. Has anyone seen Diddy mugshot? No, actually. No, the girl.
I still have not seen a mugshot of Diddy. Is he special? If I steal a fucking pack of gum, they'll be having me out in the perp walk, nigga.
Yeah, they had a Trump mugshot.
Yeah,
finally, remember?
Mugshot.
Like,
yeah.
That is true. They keep passing around the AI one.
Yeah.
That is
so,
a
Malcolm,
good
what do you
one.
Think about Al Pacino's statements?
Oh, I thought those were really interesting. So if you don't know, Al Pacino talked about how when Scarface first came out, it did not do well critically. Like a lot of it just didn't do well reviews wise and box office up until hip hop embraced it. Then it became a cult classic. Now, if you guys can think back to the Paid in Full movie, when they went to see, he said everything changed in his neighborhood when everybody went to see Scarface, because it was like the blueprint of, I can become that off of selling drugs, like selling coke, like, oh snap, like, I could become, like, world could be mine and stuff like that. And then, so it's funny because he's saying like the movie did well because of hip hop's influence, but think about what hip hop turned into because hip hop and the streets turned into because of that movie. I just thought it was a fascinating.
That is a fascinating dichotomy when we speak about art imitating life and life imitating art. I don't think the hip hop community has ever recovered from the Scarface movie.
Interesting.
You know why? Because that movie was so powerful. The visuals of Burnout, Crash Out. That's when brothers was like, man, the world is yours. I want that world. Even though you died at the end of the movie, it didn't matter.
Yeah. Right?
And so coupled with the amount of cocaine that was coming in, being flooded at the same time. See, timing is everything, right? So you had the movie, you had rappers now who had money, who were glorifying hustlers looking to clean their money, all of this stuff going on at one time, art imitating life, life imitating art. And to this day, young people are crashing out trying to live the life that Al Pacino lived. And I'm not saying that that was his purpose, because he was doing an acting job, a marvelous one at that. But that just goes to show you. And it became a template for how important movies are and how movies now, they've always been used for propaganda and, Inception and, all of those kind of things that go with that. But on that level, you know what I mean? It really hit a spike, because if the movie came out and we ain't had no coke in the hood and we ain't had no guns and we ain't had music to become the soundtrack for this. None of this stuff happens in that capacity. So timing became everything. So when somebody like Scarface come out and he's giving you the soundtrack now to a life that is really being lived, right? He represents more people than you could possibly imagine. When Jay-Z, who became one of the greatest storytellers in how he articulated that life in Reasonable Doubt and this like that, it became like, this represents me. I didn't go to school. I'm against or this or whatever the case may be, whatever excuses niggas made for not, you know, getting a true education or trying to lift themselves up other than drugs, because that became the standard. Let's just keep it.
Yeah.
Can we be honest?
Yeah. That, it was a checklist all rappers had.
Yeah, everything was against me. Well, nigga, yeah. I ain't never sold drugs in my life except that little 3-day period, right? Fucking around. And for all of us, it's a slap in the face for all of us who never had to sell drugs, who still made it out of the hood, right? Mm-hmm. So that became, well, you, teacher gonna ask me questions and shit. No, I can't fucking read. Fuck that. Let me hit the hood, right? So it gave everybody an open excuse to just... Do you know what I'm saying? Fuck that, man. All odds against me. And it really wasn't against you until you put them against you. And then that became the soundtrack. And then when Biggie said, ready to die, you know what I mean? That became a goddamn get rich or die trying.
Yeah.
Bro, those became manuscripts. Niggas for life. They became manuscripts based off a let's get this money, you know, let's do what we got to do kind of scenario. And I don't think we have ever recovered 50 years later. Just my humble opinion.
I thought that was an interesting thing. So do we go to commercial now and take commercial?
Yeah, let's
take
go to commercial and then I'm going home.
Yeah, we got to watch the Yankees. The Yankees lose.
Yeah, they're getting slaughtered.
Watch the Yankees lose. My we'll be right back.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up? Before we get back to the show, I want to ask a quick favor. Could you please rate and review this podcast? It'll really help the podcast grow, and we truly appreciate all you guys for taking the time out to listen to us. So let's get back to the show. And we are back. Thank you guys for being here. Hope you guys enjoyed those commercials.
Yes.
We enjoyed making those. Don't forget to join the membership if you want a show commercial free. We just be going straight through smoking those. All right. Don't forget to do that. We appreciate it. So let's take some questions before we get up out of here, man. The show went on longer than expected, but we appreciate y'all for being here.
We appreciate y'all for being here.
Oh, yeah. I had my Jerry curl. Yeah. Yeah, that was funny. So, Pops, you sent me which I feel was like an obvious fake story on TikTok that French Montana is not a Saudi prince.
I think he married that prince.
What?
From Dubai. What? He's out there, but that ain't a fake story. Not a real story.
You better stay out there.
Like girls get flown out to do Dubai.
Uh-huh.
Somebody flew him out to do Dubai, and she just divorced her husband, which was one of them princes. Yeah.
Okay.
Prince Montana out there getting it.
Prince Montana.
I ain't knocking them game. Get you some of that Saudi Arabia booty, nigga. Shit.
Oh, God.
You better be there than here. Shit, you know what's going on here, nigga. Shit.
Yeah, in fact, he's probably all over them Diddy tapes,
he's all over them Diddy tapes.
He's one of those people, it's just like, I don't know how he makes his money. You get like, I'm gonna
tell you how he makes his money, Malcolm.
Yeah.
Are you ready? First of all, you saw him and Diddy. Diddy had no shirt on, singing happy birthday to him. Did you see that? Happy birthday French Montana. These niggas ain't got no shirts on.
Like he was Marilyn Monroe.
Like Marilyn Monroe. With the Kennedy. He was serenading this nigga. Happy birthday, French Montana. Happy. These niggas ain't got no shirt on. It's early in the morning. These niggas had a wild night. And I was like, everything about that is gay. Everything about.
You know what I mean? Oh my gosh.
So, but he is, let me say allegedly three times.
Allegedly. Allegedly. Allegedly.
A drug trafficker.
Okay.
In my humble opinion, he's an industry drug trafficker because that song he made, the 10 million diamond song, was manufactured in a goddamn phone farm, nigga. I like the song. The shit, you know that shit.
Incredible. You know, that unforgettable.
Yeah, that shit. 10 million, it's diamond? Nah, son.
Yeah.
They busted him with the phone factories or the phone farms. He is actually an industry plant and he sells drugs.
Allegedly.
Okay.
Yeah. And now he on the come up, got him a princess out in Dubai. Oh. Yeah, I like it. Yeah. Now, I don't know. I know what the sheiks like to do to the women. I don't know what the women like to do to the men. Shit. No telling what she might have planned, nigga. You know. I don't even want to go through that. Yeah.
All right. Somebody said her family worth $18 billion. Ooh, okay, that is a come up.
$18 billion.
That is a come up. Okay.
That's a come up.
Because he was smiling. He was smiling real hard in them pictures. I didn't even know he had on them teeth.
Look, Malcolm, that's me. Hey, Eli, put your mother on the phone. Yeah. I'm never coming home. I'm hooked up with this chick. She got 18 Billy. She can buy me 4 kidneys. 2 for now and 2 for later. Okay? Like, I'm never fucking coming home. Oh, you can have the kids. You can have the dog. Your little podcast and all that shit. You can have all that shit. Yeah. What's your name again? Who? Yeah, me and this chick, we gonna tour and be sitting on boats eating olives and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Oh my God.
I'm never coming home. Yeah.
Never coming home. That's funny. Did you guys see that Joe Biden formally apologized to the Native American people here for not internment camps, but like, I mean, let me get it.
Joe Biden is still out here doing shit?
Yeah. Really? I don't know if you guys know that. That is your president, guys.
That is the president.
So, okay, he issued a formal apology for the Native Americans for abuses in Indian boarding schools. Quote, the federal government has never apologized for what happened until today. I formally apologize as president of the United States of America. Long overdue. Quite frankly, there's no excuse. And I just want to say, again, this country has never formally apologized for chattel slavery, if I'm correct. I don't think they have.
No.
Right? And again, these are people that still, you guys are telling me, deserve my vote. And I'm saying neither one of them do.
Yeah. That's absolutely. It's a smack in the face to those who, you know what I mean? Who we know put in more work than anybody.
Yeah.
In this country. That's us. We do deserve that money. Do I think we'll get that money? That's a separate conversation for another day. But do we deserve that money? We most absolutely do. Yes, we do.
Any questions, guys? Any questions?
Any questions?
Any questions before we get up out of here so we can go watch the Yankees lose? I gotta go see
the Yankees, okay? We're down 3-0. It's not good. Not good. Like Joe Soto, nobody gonna get a hit today, huh? Nobody.
Goodness.
LA popping big shit too. You know what I mean?
Ah, no. Oh, no, man. God.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Tyler the Creator's album, I think, is coming out soon. I forget what his name. It has a really interesting
Chromo something. It's got like a weird name to it.
Yeah.
And it means something. Missionary is coming out too.
What?
By Dr. Dre and Snoop.
Missionary.
Doggy Style, Missionary, the new album.
Oh, no. You're lying.
No, no, that's what it's called. It's called Missionary.
That's not.
Yeah.
That was not.
Yes, it is. Shit is called Missionary. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
Oh.
So,
oh,
look out for that.
All right, guys.
Did y'all see the 6-year-old trans kid, Kamala, and paraded around? No, nope, didn't see that.
Mm-mm. I saw a political ad, and I don't think it was done by Trump. It was done by somebody, but it was an effective ad because instead of highlighting men or highlighting black men, and it was a black woman who said Kamala Harris prosecuted her and convicted her for truancy because her daughter is disabled and was late to school and had to miss school. And the mother and the daughter spoke out against Kamala, and they show clips of Kamala bragging about charging parents for truancy and stuff like that. Very effective ad. Very effective.
Yep. Anywho.
So, that being said, guys, what is a Black Swan event? Black Swan event is like something wild happening, like something that like really defies all logic.
And it suspends the Constitution and everything is at on a halt. And we have to keep the current administrative in place, which would by default be her.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Joe dies, like something crazy, and then she's the president, like something like that.
Yeah. Something so far-fetched. You'd be like, wow, I can't believe this is going on. That type shit.
Yeah.
World War III could be one of those things. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Alien invasion.
I can imagine that too.
Zuri born this morning at 6:31.
Nice. Nice.
Bruce Millions family. Zuri. I love that name.
Absolutely.
6:31. The Urban X Nation continues to grow.
Absolutely. Congrats.
Yes. Please send us your address at sales at urbanx.nyc, because for babies, we send out special gifts from the Urban X Nation. A lot of people don't
try.
Know that, so,
yes.
Yep.
And with that being said, guys, don't forget to like, share, subscribe. Join the membership. We got a new episode of Somebody's Gotta Say It in the membership right now. Thursday is another episode in the membership, so you want to get that. And we'll see you Thursday. Peace.
For the members. Next week for everyone else.
Peace.